If you want to reduce inflation, some other, and also reduce the pain associated to the inflation, it's a very, not necessarily easy, but what needs to be done is we have to have a government, and I sound like a broken record on this, and I just pray more and more media bring this to light every single day, and this is the number one topic, is that we got to stop printing so much money. We got to reduce supply. We have to stop devaluing the dollar. We have to have a government that has a budget and lives within that budget and lives within its means.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and today is a short episode in response to Jeremy Powell's speech in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I just want to give you my take on it and what I see moving forward. And unlike the stock market's response, I like the fact that Jeremy Powell addressed this inflation and that the Federal Reserve is going to, per what he stated, and language is important. He says, hey, this is important. We understand. Now, this type of hyperinflation, although he didn't use the word hyperinflation, this inflation is a problem and we need to reduce it. And we understand that it's our responsibility and we do have the means to control inflation. Now, I would say up to a certain point, they don't have all the keys, but they definitely have some areas where they can do some triggers. And so I'm glad he addressed it. I'm glad it was talked about. Obviously, the stock market didn't like it. But we've been at artificially low inflation rate. We've been at an artificially low interest rate environment for quite some time. When interest rates were brought down substantially, I believe, during Alan Greenspan, it just made, A, very profitable for the banks. Great way to get the economy roaring again temporarily. Great way to create a super bubble as well. And so we've had, through leverage of low interest rates where money's being poured into real estate at an accelerated rate, money's being poured into the stock market at an accelerated rate. When it's cheap to borrow money, it's very easy to go out there and leverage to go get greater rates of return. Now, the Federal Reserve said, hey, last week, we are going to stay very fixated and we're going to keep raising interest rates and we're going to create pain. And that's going to have an adverse impact most likely on the stock market, and it's going to hurt people at home, but we need to lower inflation. So I think it's great it's been addressed. I think it's great for savers, and I think it's great for people going into retirement where hopefully as the rates go up, people who save won't be penalized as much and allows people to start moving money in a way to more conservative type investments such as bonds, and just a regular savings account where they can enjoy that interest as opposed to being in a position that maybe they have to be more aggressive, take on more risk to have a nice income stream in retirement, but also a greater risk of potentially losing a lot or everything with the drawdowns that will happen in the stock market. So I liked it. Stock market didn't like it. And I can tell you some of my concerns, and I just want to address some of the language used by Jeremy. And I will have in the show notes a link to monetary policy and price stability, his speech that he made last. Now, essentially, he says, hey, we have the keys. This is important. We want to get inflation down to our 2% goal. That's great news because we would agree that 9%, 8%, oh my gosh, over a year ago, I was pissed off about 4%, that this needs to be brought down. So I really admire that this is being addressed. I'm glad it's talked about. And also, there's truth into what he stated. We understand that the higher interest rates are going to it's going to slow growth in the economy. It's going to hurt the labor market to bring down inflation. So essentially, some pain. Now, he uses the word some pain to household and businesses. And earlier this year, in one of the episodes, I said, I think we're in for pain, not just some pain. And I think this pain's good in a way that the market has been and real estate have been outrageous. Now, by introducing volatility, it can be a great asset. It could be a great opportunity as more and more drawdowns occur. I think the stock market going down is a good thing for people who aren't near retirement within the next 5 to 10 years, more like 5 years for sure. This could be painful, but for the ones that are investing, having the market go down as it keeps getting discounted like I was talking with one of the episodes where I talk about a time machine, this will be an opportunity for us to invest into real estate, into other investment opportunities like the stock market at fairer and better prices. But he talks about the pain. Now, what is interesting, I'm not trying to be a jerk, Jackson Hole, if you've ever visited Jackson Hole, I think it's been over about 10, maybe more than 10 years ago, I visited Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I was like, my gosh, this place is gorgeous. It's beautiful. And if you ever visit Lake Tahoe or Incline Village, Nevada, I was like, wow, the billionaires are replacing all the millionaires. Maybe we can buy property in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, because it's just too expensive in Incline Village, Nevada. It's too expensive in Crystal Bay. It's just Lake Tahoe has become way too expensive. And then come to find out Jackson Hole made Lake Tahoe look inexpensive. So I do find it a little ironic they all fly out to one of the most beautiful areas in the U.S. to do a speech recognizing, and I doubt they flew commercial airlines or took the train. They probably flew in pretty fancy airplanes. And one of the nicest, most beautiful areas are the Grand Tetons as a background, saying, hey, we understand the pain that we're about to inflict. To me, that's a little bit of lack of empathy, but whatever. And then I'll talk, and also to keep in mind, the Federal Reserve, and you look at the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, their number one priority is to protect themselves and to protect the banking industry and the central banks. I am not a fan of central banks. That's why cryptocurrency and other forms of money are just so fascinating to me. Unfortunately, cryptocurrency, and I'm not trying to upset anyone because I understand what cryptocurrency could be. It's not money yet. And the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, if you want to read a very long and painful book, but I think it's an exciting book, and there's a lot of great content in it, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's a great book, long read, that talks about the Federal Reserve Act of 19 and why it was created, what it is, and it's not owned by our government. It's just private institutions. And the Federal Reserve works side by side with our government. However, I would argue that its number one interest is protecting itself first. We're kind of ancillary. Now, with all that said, while they're hanging out in beautiful Jackson Hole, providing bad news to the rest of the U.S., obviously the stock market didn't like it's been going down, went down hard Friday, and keeps going down. And I think that's a good thing. For most, there's just some delayed gratification here, but I do think we need to get interest rates down. We got to get it down. Not the interest rates, I'm sorry. We got to get inflation down. And I would love it to be even lower than 2%. Now, is it sustainable? We'll find out. But he stated that, hey, we understand we're going to create pain. We know we're going to hurt the labor market. We know we're going to hurt the stock market. We know we're going to hurt the real estate market. And we have to, because we have to. There's two components. And what they're talking about is that we got to decrease demand. And how do you decrease demand? Well, you raise interest rates. Not so easy now to go buy $1 million home or $500,000 home when interest rates are no longer 3%. Or I've seen loans for people at 2.25, 2.5% on 30-year fixed mortgages. That's all gone. And so now interest rates at 5, 5.5, 6.5, these are second properties, could be 7 and higher. It's just too painful. And so a lot of people say, hey, you know what? It's just, I can't afford this. We can't do it. So it's definitely going to have an impact on real estate. It's definitely going to slow things down. And it's definitely going to have, I don't see how it couldn't, but when you can't leverage cheap dollars to go gamble, and I don't mean gamble, but make educated decisions, educated gambling and investments, right? Whether it's in the stock market or other investments out there, you're going to really pause if interest rates are expensive. You aren't going to take advantage of that leverage. So that's going to reduce, and by reducing demand, that's one component that could help with inflation. But the other component, which the Federal Reserve has no control over, and this all points to our federal government, we have politicians that need to step up and become leaders, or leaders to come in and replace the politicians. It's not comfortable, but you can't buy votes anymore. You want to really solve inflation, you also have to reduce supply. And supply is printing more and more money. If you want to reduce inflation, and also reduce the pain associated to the inflation, it's a very, not necessarily easy, but what needs to be done is we have to have a government, and I sound like a broken record on this, and I just pray more and more media bring this to light every single day, and this is the number one topic, is that we got to stop printing so much money. We got to reduce supply. We have to stop devaluing the dollar. We have to have a government that has a budget and lives within that budget and lives within its means. No more buying votes. No more It's not crony capitalism. It's, I think, Yuri Maltsev, who was on my show years ago. What a great conversation. I'd love to have Yuri back on talking. It's not crony capitalism. It's crony socialism, having government picking winners and losers with money, the government picking corporations to bail out, give money to. It just it doesn't work. It doesn't work for all of us. It works for a few institutions. So if the government can rein things back, maybe a little bit more strategic in all the wars and conflicts we're involved with, maybe not pushing so hard to keep raising minimum wage. Unfortunately, when you raise minimum wage and you keep doing that kind of push and you put more and more regulations on companies and more rules, it just slows the economy down. It can screech it to a halt. Oh, by the way, when you have a lot more audits occurring and you spend $80 billion, if the number's right, with more IRS agents, they obviously want to collect a lot more money. They're not going to spend $80 billion just to get $80 billion back. They're going to spend $80 billion to consistently get at least a 2x, 3x, 4x multiple on that. That hurts companies. That's an incredible opportunity cost when it comes to time. And it's not going to hurt the bigger companies. It's that all, and all of it gets passed down to the consumer, but it could really have an impact on the smaller businesses and small families and middle income, is my concern. The supply piece is a big piece. So thank you, Federal Reserve. Thank you, Jeremy, for understanding. Mr. Powell. All right, I'd be one of his, Mr. Powell. I don't know him. I've never met him, so I shouldn't be calling him Jeremy. But Mr. Powell, his conversation, what he had to say, not conversation, but his statement last week, what he had to say about raising interest rates, I think is a good thing. It's really nice seeing savings go up. It's nice seeing that bonds are going to create greater rates of return. I think that's more. And now, is that sustainable? I don't know, because it's going to make it very painful for the government that hasn't tightened its belt yet. So once the government can do its part too and stop printing money and creating more and more money, and we'll be in a lot better shape. Now, unfortunately, as I see more and more legislation coming out of California, they haven't gotten it. As I see more and more stuff coming out of our federal government, that part hasn't set in. And we'll see what happens. The other piece that could really help everyone being hurt by inflation right now is, and I think Elon Musk made a great point this week and previous points, and I'm all for anything we can do to improve our environment without just destroying human civilization. So if down the road, oil and natural gas going improves our environment, wonderful. At this moment of time, we do not have the infrastructure. So if we want to really reduce the pain of what's occurred with inflation, we need energy to become very inexpensive, not going through the roof. Some of these articles I've read of what people are getting hit with in Europe and the UK, it's going to be a very tough winter, definitely very tough winter when you see how expensive these utility bills are. And so the best way we could help with inflation right now and help lower income families and middle income families, which will make a really big difference. And I can say the elite, not so much. I was reading a great article a few weeks ago. I don't know if it was Wall Street Journal, but how the millionaires with their yachts are upset because going out in their yacht over the weekend, instead of it costing a couple thousand, it's costing $5,000 or $6,000. So they're feeling the pain too. But I would argue for the lower income families and the middle income families, if we can get energy utility bills down substantially, that would really help. Getting gas and fuel down, that would really help. Natural gas. And what do? We increase supply. How do we increase supply? Remove some of these constraints so that as our technology picks up, then it could eventually, in time, replace oil and natural gas. We're just not there yet. And I am a huge fan of nuclear energy. And so if we could have, if we really want, you know, cleaner earth, cleaner society, maintain the technology we have with nuclear energy is incredible. And so if we can create a lot more supply through there, that would really reduce the pain we're seeing on inflation. So anyway, that's my take on Mr. Powell's speech last week in Jackson Hole, one of the most beautiful settings in the country, saying, hey, we know we're about to create pain and we feel your pain, but this is the right thing to do. And I agree. Now, is this sustainable? I don't know, because they have to be very careful if they push too hard. We won't just have a recession. And we won't know we're in a recession until after we get out of the recession. Then our government and leadership tells us what just occurred. It's never forward. It's always historically. Then they'll recognize, oh yeah, by the way, that was a recession. But if not careful, not only could we have a recession, but it could be a very strong, it could create a lot of momentum and all of a sudden it's a depression. And again, we won't know till after the fact when things are recovering. So that's my take. It's Labor Day weekend this week, and I hope everyone has a great Labor Day weekend. I am going to enjoy it with my family And I was just reading a just very brief article about what Labor Day was about and how just we really are a hardworking nation. I know in the last couple of years it doesn't feel that way. I hope in many ways that work ethic that's been in this country is restored. Now, maybe not to the extreme in the late 1800s, because History.com has a fun article talking about people were average. Americans were averaging over 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and were just machines. And not only adults, but even kids as young as 5 or 6 years old were machines in these factories. Now, I'm a huge fan of kids learning to appreciate time and money. That's a little extreme in the late 1800s. And it's nice that as a nation, we can recognize enjoying working incredibly hard, but also playing hard as well. So I hope everyone has a great Labor Day weekend. And I look forward to next week's show. Thank you for supporting the Engineering Finance Podcast. And have a great Labor Day weekend. Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.